Hey, weirdos, I'm Ash.
And I'm Elena.
And I'm Sabrina.
And this is a special edition of Morbid. Today we are doing the Weirdo Audiobook Club. You guys, this is brought to you by Audible. Our friends over there are helping us bring you this special episode, and they're giving you a little something something, because if you go over to audible.com/weirdos, you can get a free trial on Audible, and that's really exciting. So in this special bonus episode, we're going to be talking about the title, My Best Friend's Exorcism. It was written by Grady Hendrix, so let's talk about it.
Yay! I'm such a, like, woo girl right now.
We're all being woo girls right now.
We're whooping it up.
The energy.
Very woo.
It is woo woo.
It is.
It's a bit woo woo.
It is.
And spooky.
This title is something I'm really excited to talk to you guys about, because it's all about, like, friendship.
And spooky friendship.
I was gonna say, spooky ass
and
friendship.
Demons.
Yes.
Our favorite.
Yay. We love
that. That's how we became friends.
It's true.
The dark stuff.
Spookies and demons. Yes. And ghosties.
Luckily, none of us has been demonically possessed yet.
No,
not exciting.
I have been around a demon.
Yeah.
My sister, we used to joke she was possessed, but she might have been.
Maybe.
Really?
I also had someone, a previous relationship, wonder if I was possessed, and that's why I was leaving.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you feel like you were?
Possessed with something good. Yeah.
Possessed with newfound strength.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of there.
Yep. I love it.
Yep.
What a way to justify someone leaving. Mm-hmm. You're like, well, you must be possessed by a demon.
If you're leaving me.
Yeah.
Obviously.
Obviously.
That's the only way.
Yeah.
Well, I think we should start out first by just gushing over Grady Hendrix.
Absolutely.
Is what I think.
100%. I've never read a Grady Hendrix title before this, and you two have. Like, you guys are big fans, right?
I had seen Grady Hendrix, like, some of the films he's
yes.
made.
Like,
Satanic Panic.
Satanic Panic.
Have you seen that one?
So yes.
Funny. So good.
So good. I'm a huge Grady Hendrix girl. I love his books, love his writing, love hearing him talk.
Yes.
Like, his interviews are some of the funniest interviews you will ever read or hear.
I was telling Elena, I don't know why, but he reminds me of Bill Nye.
He has such good Bill Nye vibes.
It's the vibes.
You kind of want him to be your dad.
Yes.
And he's smart. Like, I get that.
You get it.
I get it.
And he's so, like, he's very insightful, but he's also very unserious all the time,
right.
Which is fun.
That's
I
like
love
my,
people like that.
Well,
that's
we were just talking a minute ago about the dedication of this
book,
which was hilarious.
Because the dedication, I feel like I need to read it.
Yeah.
So I had to write this down after I listened to the title, because the dedication in this book, Sabrina had brought it up, and I was like, wait a second. We had to look up what this
what
meant.
It was.
Really, because wait, what?
Yeah, it says, for Amanda, who knows the reasons why, and there's an asterisk next to it. And then underneath, it says, but if she doesn't, I would suggest she have her attorney consult both protective orders filed against her, the criminal complaint which outlines these reasons in great detail, and maybe also her conscience, because disclosing the whereabouts of the bodies will finally bring some kind of closure for my family.
So all of us were like, who the fuck is Amanda and what does she know?
And who the fuck did she kill?
Seriously.
Turns out Amanda is Grady Hendrix's wife.
And that's all in good fun.
He dedicates everything, every book to her, every title to her, and he always makes a joke.
That's love.
So, I love that.
I loved it so much.
It's the best. Yeah. I think that shows you right there what you're getting into with a Grady Hendrix book.
It really does.
Yeah.
And it's funny because with this title in particular, it's like such a different way of going about, like, a possession story.
It is.
Because we're used to, and I've never thought of it this way, but I read an interview with Grady that said, he was like, most of these stories are from the point of view of, like, a priest.
The exorcist.
Like, having his faith tested because he's trying to exorcise this demon. And he said, it's always some, like, young girl or some young woman tied to a bed,
right,
possessed by a demon, and there's just this old man screaming at her,
right,
and he's like, I'm kind of over that,
right. Yeah, it's been done.
Yeah, so he said he wanted to do it from the point of view of the demoniac, I think it's called.
I think you're right. Yeah,
is the person that is possessed.
Which I love that, the demoniac.
Yeah, the demoniac. I think that's how you say it. If it's not, that's how I say it.
How else would you
that's
say
how
it?
We say it,
right? I feel like that's
it's
the
like
only
saying
way.
Craven. a yes. crow raven, a demoniac.
Yeah, exactly. You don't know if it's a crow, if it's a raven. It's a craven.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. It actually, this is like the combo I kept putting in my head. It's like Pen 15 met Jennifer's body.
Yes. That is so funny because so many people have put
like two up against
two
each other
things like that together to describe this book, and they all work.
Like somebody right. said, what was it, Heathers? And
it's one of them. Heathers is, he says one. Beaches meets The Exorcist.
That's mm-hmm. I mean that way.
And I think it's good. Like yeah. Heathers and The Exorcist, or
I think it was Heathers yeah. and The Exorcist.
All yeah. of those things work.
It also made me want to so badly go back and find my like 17 magazines quizzes yes. that I had yes. taken and find the answers that I would put back when yes. I was that age.
It nostalgia really nostalgia bomb.
Yeah,
brought I was back asking, the nostalgia. Yeah, I was asking Elena when you were listening to it. Were you like answering the questions?
Oh, absolutely.
I love it.
I went through and I found the questions and I wanted us to answer them.
We should.
We yeah. were thinking that too.
That's a great idea. Well, I saw somebody say that they were answering them as Abby to see.
Right.
And they were like, it's making her look kind of unhinged. So like, is Abby the right. problem?
The whole time I was listening, I was like, it does suck because poor Abby is the one who now looks like she's crazy.
Right.
Yes.
And nobody is listening to her whatsoever. Like one of the parts that like broke my heart the most is when she actually, and there's going to be spoilers on this just so you guys know.
Yeah.
One of the parts that broke my heart the most was when she sits down finally with like Mr. and Mrs. Lang and starts to talk to them about what's going on. And she's talking to them about like some really serious
yeah.
stuff. Like
yes.
trigger warning. She's talking to them about rape.
Right.
And they're like, don't say that about our daughter. You did drugs with her. You're the problem.
You're
Get
the
out
problem.
Of our house.
Yeah. We'll have you arrested and if they, you say that to anyone else.
Right. You're on drugs. Yeah. And they tell everyone else that she's on drugs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they call her school and say she's on drugs.
And she's on scholarship.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So they like purposely, and that's like a big thing in this too. And that's why I like Abby's mom, I felt had such good, like, she had good advice for Abby. It was yeah. just like being given in the wrong way, I think, a right. lot of times, or she just wasn't able to
right.
take it in when she needed to.
Yeah.
Because one of the things is like Abby's on scholarship at this private mm-hmm. school, and Gretchen's family is very wealthy. All right. her friends' families are very wealthy. And Abby's mom at one point is like, you shouldn't be hanging out with these people. Like, these wealthy people can pay themselves out of their
right.
problems.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're with them, we can't do that.
We can't
so
help
you'll
you.
Be the scapegoat.
Exactly.
They'll throw it on you.
A little
and
foreshadowing.
It's exactly what happened.
Yeah.
Mama knows best.
And I was like, Abby's mom. Mm-hmm. Mary. I think her name is Mary.
It is Mary.
Yeah. And I think, it's like, damn.
Yeah. I think that's one of the major themes in this is like the class yeah. differences between yeah. everybody. Yeah.
And you see, it all became her problem.
Yeah, it did.
And it's.
But
and
shout out to Abby for being the realest friend out
the
there.
The realest
that exists. And the most like resilient human yeah. being because. Like the amount of time it took for her to actually break. And then even when she breaks, she's not broken. Like
yeah.
she's like, all right,
no,
I'll go back for more.
She's still like, yeah, I'm going to keep doing this.
It's
yeah.
like she put up boundaries with Gretchen, mm-hmm. but then she would like break the boundary when it needed to be
I
broken.
Know.
Like she was like, I was like, you're okay.
Oh, at the end, just like the beautiful friendship story. Ugh.
Oh my
I
God.
I cried at the end.
I did too. It's emotional.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
Like, it's so beautiful.
That she was holding her hand
yeah.
and like, oh.
Yeah. That, I think that is one of the most beautiful things about this title is that it yes. has every element. And Grady captured, one, the like nitty gritty and like the complexities of friendship, especially
yes.
in high school mm-hmm. and like going through that evolution in life on top of terrifying us with the exorcising and the demonic possession stuff and moments like the freaking tapeworm.
Yes! Oh,
like, we'll never forget that.
They'll never be
but
the
then,
same.
But then pulling at your heartstrings.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
No, like, definitely.
And there's no fucking love story in it, which the love story was with the friends. And
that
love, made me happy.
That.
Call
I
me
love that.
Disturbed. I don't know. But like,
no, we need more things like that.
Right. Female friendships.
Yeah.
It was beautiful.
Exactly.
And he did such a good job.
Yeah.
I've seen people say that they had no idea this was written by a man.
Yes.
You would never know.
You would not know.
Because it was like little things. Like I think we were talking about it earlier. It was like, you know, when this takes place in the 80s. So he puts a lot of things from the 80s
yeah.
in there, like the satanic panic
like
of it all.
Oh, yeah.
80s culture.
Roller skating.
Roller skating. Like
E.T.
all these cool
yeah.
little And one of them is the their like gym teacher, whoever it is, talking to them about Bartles and James wine coolers.
Oh my God.
I love that yes, part. That is hilarious.
They're like super sweet and they taste so good and they'll sneak up on you because they have lots of alcohol mm-hmm. in them. And but he's only they're
and then
only
the next
talking
thing you know,
girls.
You'll lose your precious
gift. And like that, and they keep saying it just to the girls. Like
right.
this is your right. your responsibility to not have yourself taken advantage of.
Yeah.
Because you'll lose. And once you lose your precious gift, you won't be worth anything. And yeah. it's like,
which
well,
is a dumb fucking
shit.
Idea altogether.
Oh, 100%.
But, and the girls are hearing this, and Abby's like, so she turns to, remember, she turns to Gretchen, and she's like, wants to say, like, your precious gift.
Yeah.
And she's like, I wanted it to be something that we said to each other, like right. the hefty, hefty,
like,
hefty.
Yeah, make it a yeah. thing.
And yeah. I was like, that's such, like, girl friendship.
It
like,
is.
It's like you latch onto this one phrase, yeah. and you'll just use it forever with each other. And it was little things like that, like nuances, that he got so well.
You know what it is?
Yeah.
He captures the religion of being a teenage girl.
Yes.
Like,
yes.
what their religion is. Not yes. Like there are themes of religion throughout with, like, actual, like, Jesus-based religion.
Yeah.
But aside from that, and, like, I think the more important religion and the one that was highlighted here is the religion of your friendships yeah. with your girlfriends yeah. in high school.
And, like, yeah. girl code.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things he had said. I've seen him in interviews say that, like, regular possession stories are, again, about a priest and, you know, right. like a demon and faith being tested. And he was like, but it to me, like, in high school,
yeah.
your most important thing and you're the thing that, you know, grounds you and the thing that you look to for hope and whatever and faith
yeah.
are your friends are your and friends. Your relationships. And that's why, like, you know, in the end, it's not a, like a religious exorcism that takes this demon out of her.
Nuh-uh.
It's their friendship and it's their bond and yeah. their love for each other.
Exactly.
It's their history.
And
it is one of those
that.
Like phrases, catchphrases yes. almost that they use to
yeah.
help.
Exactly. Yeah. It's like all that silly stuff.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the power of Phil Collins compels you or whatever.
Yes. Yeah.
She's like, I love you queerly and I love you
yes.
dearly.
Yeah. Like, all of that is what takes this demon out. And I was like, that is such.
It's amazing.
It's such a unique way of looking at a story like
yeah.
this. And it's like, I would listen to this title 100 more times.
Same.
The yeah. other thing is the narrator of this title. It's performed by Emily Wu Zeller.
Yes.
I like to say that she has a voice like an anti-demon.
An anti-demon
yes.
indeed.
Her voice was so soothing.
How beautiful and ironic, but in the best way.
Yeah.
yeah.
No, she did a great job.
I yeah. love when she does the boy parts, because she does like all the parts when
yeah.
you're listening to the title. And when she does the boy, she's like, Oh. Like, but it's Wallace talking.
But it's
and
like really well done.
Yeah, yeah. Like he does sound
You're like that.
That
is Wallace.
Fucking Wallace.
I found myself in certain parts because I just needed to know what happened. I like to listen at like 1.5 speed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But there were certain parts where I would slow it down.
Yes.
I needed to like just capture every sentence and every word and hear all the disturbing things.
Yes. And you know it's a good title when you do that.
Right.
It was, you want to like really take it
immerse
in.
Yourself yeah, yeah. into it.
It was one of those titles where like you want to get to the end, you want to know what happens, but I remember being like finished with it and I was like, I don't want to be finished.
The post-title depression.
Yes. And what's cool about like, and Grady does this really well in all of his titles, he has such a way of like balancing comedic elements, like levity,
yeah.
moments of levity with extreme horror. It's
yes.
not like it's like he's a little spooky over here and like this is really funny. It's like,
yeah.
no, he's gonna like ruin your life in
right.
one chapter, and then the next chapter he's gonna be like, now breathe.
Yeah.
And it's like the
and
perfect
laugh. Yeah.
balance of it. Like
it
he's like the radio silence of writing.
Yes.
For me.
Ooh.
100%.
Which
that's
is like
a good way
high
to put
praise,
that.
Everybody.
That is.
Because they're so good at like, you know, balancing
mm-hmm.
that levity in horror.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
it's a talent.
And it's like what they do. Like that
yeah.
is what they're known for. And they are brilliant at it. And Grady has that talent.
Yeah.
Like he has that skill. He gives you that and it's always that moment to just like catch your breath.
Right.
And that's like, that's why horror is fun.
Yeah.
Like, because you should get that moment of like, holy
right.
shit, what did we just see? Or
yeah.
like, what did we just hear?
Because there
and
are
then
moments.
You breathe.
Yeah. Because there are moments where you're like, what is happening right now? And then there are moments
and
where
heaviness.
You're cracking up. Like,
yeah.
I was laughing out loud listening
Same.
To this. I looked
yes.
crazy in my
because
car.
Because it almost, he has this beautiful way of almost feeling, making you feel like you are one of them.
Yes.
Like you're a part of the
you're
girl group.
It.
You're there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you're one of the friends.
I
yeah.
was saying that to Elena because it's like, I feel like a lot of times in a title you can say, oh, like, I really resonate with that person, right, or like, I'm definitely like this person. But I feel like when I was listening to this, I wasn't an Abby, I wasn't a Gretchen, I wasn't a Glee or a Margaret. Like,
there were, you were little, an Ash.
Yeah.
And you're in the group.
Yeah, exactly. Or like, I saw like a little piece of me in like all of them.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
what I mean?
That, yeah.
That's special. And that's how I felt. I felt like I was just me. I was, mm-hmm, just Elena in the group with them.
Yeah.
Like watching this all happen and experiencing it with them, getting stressed out when things were happening, worrying about the relationships in the group.
Like, work it out, you guys.
I'm like, Margaret, stop being a bitch. Like, yeah. I was like,
Margaret,
it's fine.
Margaret was a bitch from the beginning.
She really was.
I mean, she was right from the jump. I was anti-Margaret.
Because like, of her horse party.
Yeah. I don't want to, like, who wants to go to your horse party?
I and then she's contemplating.
Rude. Yeah, she's super rude.
Yeah, yeah.
Not into, and in Margaret, the end, it sounds like, she, you know, she was what she was.
She also kind of just, like, dipped.
She did.
Which makes sense.
Yeah. I get it. I think after that, it's like, the fact that Gretchen and Abby were able to stay friends.
And Glee even tried for a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, it sounds like Glee had some stuff going on.
But it sounds like Glee was a wreck, which, I mean, who wouldn't be after that high school experience?
I mean, that's traumatizing.
She tried to dive off a bell tower naked while throwing fake love letters from a priest.
What was written across her chest?
She has "for you" written across her chest in black marker.
And she like jumps off naked, and then the guards like are trying to put a blanket over her. And Abby's like, you know, "for you" is bouncing all over the place.
Oh, like, oh. And this is for like a young priest at their school.
At their school. Father and Morgan, the letters weren't even written by him.
He had no idea. Honestly, he's the real victim in this story.
Yeah, because he looked like he was doing some shady shit.
He lost his job and he was like, "I can't talk to you."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell?
You know what's also scary is that I think like, I mean, I experienced some level of bullying, more middle school than high school, but there were people doing this shit not possessed by demons.
Yeah.
You know, like, I'm in middle school, I had someone tell me that, like, a boy had a crush on me, and he didn't. And, it was devastating in a, you know, a fraction of what happened in this title, but
it feels like everything at that moment.
Yeah.
When you're younger, everything is so much more heightened.
Right. Oh, yeah. Like, I've told on the podcast before, I've told the story in middle school that these girls invited me to a party and sent me to an abandoned house.
Oh my God. Nothing will top that.
And my dad was the one dropping me off. I was like so excited. And my poor dad.
Oh, Elena.
But he's such a real one.
What
did he do?
He was like,
"I got ice cream."
Because I was like, "What?" And he's like, "Let's go get ice cream. Like, you can talk to me if you want to, but you don't
have
to."
I'm
like sobbing. And he's just like, "Let's get ice cream." And that's it.
People are so mean.
And they weren't even possessed by demons.
Yeah.
My sister's 2 years older, and I so desperately like wanted to be her friend growing up. And one day she invited me to play with her and her friends. And they said, "We're going to play school, but this school ties you up." And they tied me up to her bedpost and left me there down into the basement to play.
That's some real big sister shit.
That is big sister shit.
And at that point, I mean, we joked that she was possessed by a demon, because there was one time where my dad like literally heard a demonic voice come out of her mouth like, "Get out!"
Well, like, she was actually, you just said that.
Yeah.
You're like, "There was this one time heard this crazy thing."
It's a longer story, but we can get into it another day. But yeah, no, people can be mean.
Yeah. I have a story, and it's only one little thing, but on AIM, which like the meanest stuff always happened on AIM. Mean AIM stories, but one that sticks out in my head was this new boy in my school that was so cute. His friends were like, "He wants to date you, like he's asking you out." And my mom was on the computer and was like, "Oh my God, yes, definitely." And answered the AIM for me. And I remember I got home and she was like, "Josh, like, beep, asked you to be his girlfriend. And I said yes for you because I know like you think he's so cute." And I was like, "Mom, there's no way that's real. Like, what have you done?"
Oh no.
It was a nightmare.
Why'd she do that?
Because she was also demonically possessed, I'm pretty sure.
That is some demonically possessed parenting.
Oh my God.
But it just goes to show that I think everybody in middle school and high school at some point or another acts like a demon.
Yeah.
True. Yeah. Or is the victim of a demon.
A demonic type of person.
Yes.
Truly. Like, oh, wow. That's horrifying.
Yeah, that was a bad one.
Oh, that's so sad.
I know. It was horrific. And then I had to go to school the next day and, face that. I knew that that was fake. I was messing with you.
Yeah, like, ha, tables turned.
Joke's on you. I mean, joke's on you now, so whatever.
Yeah, joke's actually, on you.
But some of the nightmare parts in the book go way beyond any of our experiences.
Truly.
There's some part, I mean, I think we're all thinking, we should talk about the nightmare parts and then we'll talk about our favorite parts.
Yeah,
to
yeah.
Like kind of
lighten the mood.
Yeah.
The tapeworm.
100%.
Takes the cake.
The most the like visual yeah. moment, like nightmare inducing moment.
In the description.
And how it kept coming.
Oh, it just kept on coming. And then like, the dog.
The dog
is the homie though.
He is the homie.
That is true.
And all of that with the really like every time Riley showed up, the creepy brother, I was so scared.
Riley
for everyone. He was the scary. I mean,
although Riley scary, did but, allow yeah. Abby into the house despite knowing that he shouldn't have,
mm-hmm,
which
that's true.
That's very true.
I think he just didn't give a shit.
And he's just sitting at the counter, like, with reading Hustler.
Right.
With peanut butter fingers. That's the part that bothered
me
the most.
That's so
he had peanut butter all over his hands. I was like, wash your hands.
No, I agree.
And he came in the room and they said he got the peanut butter on the doorknob. And I was like, oh. And then she's like, and we could smell the peanut butter. And I was like,
for Elena, it was worse than the
peanut butter. I was like, oh my God, I'm horrified. And then all of a sudden a tapeworm starts coming out of her mouth and she's heaving it out and the dog's grabbing it. And I was like, this is the worst nightmare I could
think of. What was it, like 30 something feet
long? It was ridiculously like 20 long. The longest tapeworm they'd ever seen.
And then she had even more.
Oh my God.
Because she probably had all the little tapeworm eggs.
Yeah, because she had, you're only supposed to drink one shake a day.
Those crazy
one shake total.
Yeah.
Oh, one shake ever. I thought it was one a day.
No, she was having multiple a day.
Because they all had tapeworms in them.
Yeah. And then there was, and like a close second to that was when Gretchen vomited out all the feathers.
The squirrel. Where there was like worms.
That was so weird.
Yeah. It was, the description was like pale milk.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like with squirmy black feathers in it. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
There's like, I can picture it.
There's a lot of puke in this story because then Wallace also pukes on the football field.
Yeah.
Later on. It's a little less.
And during the exorcism,
there's some more puke. Yeah. And that puke is yellow.
Yeah.
So it's all very it's like well bile. Described. Puke.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How
big did you picture the tapeworm, like girth wise?
I pictured it so thick.
Right.
Me too.
I pictured it barely being like ripping her mouth.
That's because I think it said at one point it was.
Like inhumanly.
Yeah.
And I know tapeworms are traditionally like a white and like they're thin.
Very thin.
But I was picturing like a very bulbous, like blood filled.
Yes.
I don't know why.
Tapeworm.
I pictured white still, but like so thick. And when the dog was like trying to snap it and ripped it couldn't.
Oh God, it was awful. It made me think of The Troop by Nick Cutter.
I haven't listened to that.
Which I also highly recommend as a title to listen to. But forewarned,
there's
I just
a tapeworm
said that
part.
Reminds me of it.
So interesting.
Know that, but it's also a great book. But something about worms, just tapeworms and like parasites and stuff freak me out.
My cat once had tapeworms.
Oh, really?
Because she had fleas and like she had been eating the fleas, and fleas, I guess, carry tapeworm eggs. And it was gross because these little like rice grains would like be coming out of her butt because tapeworm would be like breaking off.
Oh my God.
Oh God, that's so horrible. And the only way to get rid of them too is to like, you know, poop them out or
She had to take I had to give her like medicine that like killed it.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
And then you expel it.
Yeah.
But that was also the sad thing about this whole tapeworm situation is that she had a tapeworm, but her family was starving her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think they were trying to starve the tapeworm because I think that is like a belief that like it is possible and then it'll like pass through your system. But I think they didn't realize that she had like 30 something tapeworms in her stomach.
Oh my God.
But there was a lot. It's actually crazy when you look back on the title because there was a lot of like really foul, disgusting stuff. Like when the exorcism actually takes place.
Oh, it's gnarly.
The roaches. And then she like, I mean, technically it's not Gretchen. It's
Andras.
I was wondering how you pronounce his name.
I don't know.
Is it Andras?
I added a flair because it sounds
what
like.
What did you say?
Andras.
Andras. I like it. But like he chomps down on the roach.
He's a wily one.
He is a wily one.
Yeah.
Andras was funny too at times.
Okay, wait.
Well, that's the thing is demons like kind of got some sex appeal sometimes.
They did. They're, and they're funny.
That's why they get inside.
Yeah, it's true. That's but how they But also one of the horrifying parts, besides like all the tapeworms and like the physical, you know, like body horror kind of thing, was when it was like the really like chilling parts where like the birds are all slamming into the house.
Oh. That part scared the crap out of me.
Yeah.
What? I haven't even told my story.
Oh my God. Yeah. Yes.
Well, that's it. So Andros is a, he's like, I guess he's known to have an owl head in a man's body. That's yeah. what the, because yeah. it's a real like demon in demonology.
Right.
So I'm listening to the title. I'm driving home from my hair appointment, listening to the title.
What time of night is this?
It's like 10:30, 11 o'clock at night. I'm
even creepier.
We need to like attach, well, I don't know if we'll be able to because I do swear a lot in it, but we need to put the voice note up somewhere. You guys, I crap you shit you not. I'm driving down my road about to go home and I see a fucking owl standing in the middle of my neighborhood. I've never seen an owl in my life before other than like at the zoo. And what are the odds that I'm listening to this title where they're talking about an owl demon?
And, it's Andros.
And there's an owl.
Horrifying.
I'm never going to be over
it's
it.
It's just Andros being like, hey.
Never going to be over it.
What's up?
Yeah. Because you've asked me the question, Elena, before. Like, I think it's like a question people ask each other of like, how many owls would you have to see before you thought something was up?
One.
And I, oh, so correct.
Yeah. And I always said one, too. I was like, I see one owl. I'm being like, what's going on?
Right. I always said two because I'm like, one owl's not that crazy. Yeah. One owl is that.
It is that crazy.
Especially given the fact that you're reading this title at the exact time. It's 10:30 at night.
Yes.
Yeah, no.
It was.
It's like right outside your home. That feels invasive.
Luckily, it was like a little bit far. It was like kind of in front of our neighbor. So like, shout out to them. Cool. I don't know what you're going through. But yeah.
I will say that whole book club scene was really unsettling.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Because Gretchen like dresses up and starts singing at the top of the stairs. Doesn't she push him, too?
Yeah, he slaps her, and then she pushes him down the stairs. And it's like, as all the birds are slamming into the house, and the owls are tearing them apart, like the pelican and shit.
Yes. And Gretchen's mom is drunk.
Gretchen's mom is just drunk.
And Abby's like, I have to go work at the yogurt shop.
And then there's another lady.
There's like two ladies reciting the Lord's Prayer. I was like, this sounds
overstimulation.
Like, when I say overstimulation station, like I would be in orbit. Like, I would be gone.
I don't know how Abby didn't, like, I mean, eventually she does run out of there, but damn.
Right. I would lose my mind.
It's like, horrifying.
That is so scary. Unsettling is the best way to describe that scene because there is so much happening.
Yeah.
And that's also early on in the story where no one even believes that it's an exorcist or a demon situation.
Yeah, and you don't even, like, you're not really sure yet.
Aside from the
listener.
Name of the title of, you know, you wouldn't know.
But you wonder if there's, like, a twist or something. Like,
right.
Well, you're wondering if it's, like symbolizing something else.
Right.
If it's, like, a metaphor for some kind of transformation. Like,
right.
When your friend is not your friend anymore.
Yeah.
Right? When people evolve.
Which it kind of, it does do both.
Right? It is, It's perfect for that.
I think it's a metaphor in a lot of different ways.
Absolutely.
Definitely. It is. And also, while we're talking about like the actual possession itself, there's a lot of theories out there as to if Gretchen was possessed in the woods, like after they dropped LSD, or if she was possessed even before that at Bible camp, and then it really just started to like ramp up.
Yeah. That's actually, because you brought this up before we were recording, and I was like, should we wait? But I fully believed it happened in the woods.
Me too.
Because in my mind, it was like, it could have been Abby. Mm-hmm. I thought that, like, had Abby gotten lost, it would have been her.
Yep.
But that's interesting, especially given the
Andy Solomon
conversation thing. Like, who was she talking to?
I need to go back and listen, because what I saw, I was on like a couple of discussion boards, just kind of like reading what other people were theorizing.
Yeah.
And what they were saying was that she mentions talking to Andy like before she gets quote unquote possessed in the woods, like before you're led to believe that she gets possessed in the woods. And then he says, oh, I haven't talked to her since summer camp.
Right.
So it's like, so I think she had to have been possessed probably at summer camp.
That's so interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's like a Bible
that's never
summer
addressed. Because Abby even says like she's annoyed by the fact that Gretchen has this like boy that she met at summer camp and now prioritizes.
Yep.
But then at the same time, she says she's talking to Andy is she calling Andress Andy? Like, to try, because obviously that's it's not interesting. Gretchen.
Yeah, because that would make sense.
You know?
This also brings up a point when Abby does call the number that she thinks is Andy's.
Yes.
And Gretchen answers.
Gretchen's, like, soul answers.
Yeah.
So there's a part.
I just got chills. That part, because that confuses me a little bit.
So that confused me too, but I found another fucking thing on the discussion boards because I didn't even catch this, and I wonder if you did. Elena did catch it. So Gretchen's soul essentially is, like, trapped in the phone lines because. Which also kind of makes you wonder, was it? Did she get possessed out there? Because when she is in, like, that, like, little shack in the woods, mm-hmm. remember she sees that little, like, phone, like, what's it? How would I describe it?
Like the phone company thing?
The phone company logo.
Oh.
And she hears that, like, buzzing, like, electrical buzzing.
Yeah.
And it's the same buzzing that she hears when she calls that number.
Okay, so this is interesting. So what if it did happen at Bible camp?
Mm-hmm.
And then she is talking to Andress on the phone, and, like, basically they swap places. Like, she lets Andress into her, and her soul is now, like, stuck in the phone line.
Yeah, I could see. I think I see what you're saying.
Like, at Bible camp, if she, like, because one of the things that they say during the exorcism, it, like, Brother Lemon, which we will get into,
fucking
Brother Lemon,
love Brother
hero
Lemon.
Of the century,
seriously,
hero, and love of Brother Lemon. He said during the exorcism that, like, you're going to be kind of, like, open and raw during this exorcism because we're going to be, like, saying all these Bible verses and, like, all these powerful things that, like, you know, using our faith, and that's going to leave you open to being possessed yourself.
Right.
Right.
So what if at Bible camp she became raw and open from being exposed to all that she was exposed to there? She came back, they dropped LSD, she got lost, she went to that little cottage in the woods. And there
was a trigger there.
And that was where it entered. Well, and that's maybe, why you can communicate with that part.
And maybe it was, like, the phone lines because of the electricity.
Right. Yep.
But
that's maybe it all really did begin in Bible camp when she became, like, raw and open to it.
That's the thing. When I was listening, it was just, like, most of that was just lost on me. And I just assumed that she dropped LSD, she jumped off, and there was, like, some kind of portal to that.
Right. Especially because people had used that shack for satanic rituals.
Right. But now I think I'm a full believer that it happened at Bible camp.
Me too. Same. I think it all began there.
Yeah. Yeah. You guys have to let us know what you think. Like,
I'm
the curious. Comments. Yeah, I wanna see.
Because also
I
read that, like, Andy's last name is Solomon, which is referencing King Solomon.
Which is hella biblical.
Which in the Bible, I guess he became, like, in some parts, in some thoughts, he became a powerful king through the help of demons. Like, demons helped him.
Grady. So see, this makes me love Grady even more.
Because it's so deep.
Like, it's so smart. Yeah.
He just kills it with that stuff. It's like, you layered. Go back and you're like, shit. Like, you know what you're doing. Like, it's so impressive.
It is.
Well, we talked about our nightmare parts, and I guess we kind of talked about some of our favorite parts even just, like, through that. But let's go deeper into our favorite parts.
Okay.
I mean, the Lemon Brothers.
They win.
The Lemon Brothers.
Bodybuilding for God.
And that's a real thing.
Yeah.
Bodybuilders. What is it? It's a bodybuilders for Christ.
For Christ.
Yeah. Is a thing.
I've seen it on Instagram.
Yep. Bodybuilding for Christ.
I mean, you can do anything for Christ.
You absolutely can.
Pretty much. Yeah. If you really think about
it's a whole thing. There's a hashtag BB4Christ, number 4.
BBC.
BB4Christ.
BBFC.
BBFC. And,
it says, welcome to Bodybuilding for Christ, where faith and fitness unite. So they're, like, real.
That's, like, really pretty much what they said.
They honor God with their bodies.
I mean, they were fucking fit. Like, I loved the moment where it's the school assembly and they ask what's the guy's name?
Wallace.
Right?
Wallace.
It's like, it's almost, like, non-memorable because F Wallace. But,
truly.
But, like, they ask all the guys to come up and lift the thing, and then the guy does it by himself. Brother Lemon's like, took 4 of you guys.
Yeah. And he does, like, he, like, puts it, like, the cross.
Yeah, he had to do it in the shape, like, of the cross.
He's like, it's stronger in a cross.
Yeah.
The power of Christ allows me to do anything.
Yeah.
And they're just, like, delightful. Like, they are delightful.
I love them.
And he's always talking about his daddy.
Yeah, he loves his dad.
The one who, he just loves the dad.
Yeah.
Were you guys ever second guessing him when he showed her, like, all the stuff that he had in his van for the exorcism and the GHB part, like, how there was, like, 2 baggies and she was like, why are there 2?
Yeah.
I was a little worried that, like, it might be taking a turn and, like, maybe we were being led to believe that he was, like, like a helpful exorcist, and really he was going to turn out to be like another demon.
I had a moment of wondering if he had some nefarious intent with the van, but it was only a second.
After
same, I honestly, it's just a second.
I never doubted him because of his strength.
Because of the power of Christ and all.
I only doubted him when the exorcism was actually happening.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think he just lost himself in it.
And later he says it.
Yeah. That's why he does what he does.
Yeah.
Yes. Can I spoil? I don't know.
I mean, we spoiled such pretty a big much spoil. Everything.
I feel like when he takes the blame.
Yes. Yeah. And he says, like, I think he mentions how he won, like he trained for 2 years for like the most muscles in the entire universe competition or whatever it is. And he says, and he's like, and I can't remember what music I was listening that I played while I did that competition. Right. I was training for 2 years, but I can remember every second of me like launching salt into that girl's face.
The boiling water.
And like the boiling water. That, like,
and then when he was asking for the, what was it, ammonia? I was like, oh my God, Abby she's like, gonna die.
Now you're killing her physical body. Yeah.
That got so scary. That was a horrific part.
That is the scary thing about exorcisms generally, because I think has brought up a lot of debate about how like moral some of these exorcisms are, because there's like sometimes like four muscular people holding down like this tiny frail body and like breaking bones of people in the name of exorcising a demon, but
how far
is too far,
right? Yeah, exactly. It's a fine line, I would say.
Definitely. And you can tell like he reached that point and was like, I have to go. Like, I have to go get my dad.
And just the way that he turns himself in.
And he's like, oh, he's so sweet.
And then the conversation that they end up having years and years later, that was one of the most wholesome moments ever.
I know. Yeah. I'm glad that they had that. They could reconnect.
I'm so glad they had that. And then the other wholesome thing that absolutely just ruined me, I also cried listening to this part. Because Abby's dad the whole way through, like, you can tell she loves her dad. Like, she loves her parents, but she has a tough relationship with them.
Yeah, right.
And she's her dad never does anything. Like, he's very passive, even in the meeting where the mom tells off Major.
Yeah,
he's like, he gets a little snippy.
A little funny thing in that one.
Well, yeah, what does he say
when she says like
he's never liked you?
Yeah, and then she's like, you always kissed up and kicked down to him. And she's like, we never liked you. And the dad says, now that's not entirely true. I just never thought about you long enough to develop an opinion. And I was like, oh,
which is worse.
And that's what we saw. Like the first part of his personality come through. And I was like, I think I might like this guy. Yeah. And then when I knew I fucking loved this guy was at the end when obviously like, so Abby and Gretchen get separated because like it's this whole big court case. And people think that Abby tried to kill Gretchen and yada, yada, yada.
You know, that whole thing.
Yeah.
But you can't keep two best friends apart. No, so they find a way to each other. And Mr. Lang, Gretchen's dad, is like super pissed off about it. And finally, Abby's dad just tells him off and is like, dude, they're going to be friends through whatever. Like, if they can figure out how to pay the phone bill and if they want to write letters to each other, let them.
Yeah, right. Like, who are we to keep them apart?
And he's like, can't you see it's tearing them up inside? Like, he says, like, I'm seeing it tear my kid up. Like, you can't do this.
Because there is no love like a best friend.
Yeah. No.
Really, truly.
It's true.
That was one of my absolute favorite parts.
Oh, I loved that.
It was great.
And I loved during the exorcism when Brother Lemon there, I just love like the way he's like his lines are some of the funniest things.
They really are.
Because he's so serious about them. But he says, I'll be doing some serious blasting of prayer.
Yeah.
If you're not girded with the full armor of God, you might not make it through with your soul intact.
Like, he's such a meathead.
He is.
But also like God meathead. Yeah. That, like, it's this weird combination that you wouldn't necessarily put together.
No. I'm going to do some serious blasting of prayer. What?
Absolutely incredible. Did you catch the little true crime reference at the end?
What?
When he's wearing Joey Buttafuoco pants?
Oh, I did hear that.
Remember, Joey Buttafuoco's mistress was the Long Island Lolita, and she like tried to assassinate his wife after like a year's long
affair.
I
didn't know that.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a little rough there.
But he's wearing Joey Buttafuoco pants.
With those little Easter eggs.
So good.
So Corinne and I ended up talking to Chad and Carrie Hayes, who wrote the first Conjuring film and like House of Wax and stuff like that. They went to this town in India, and I'm forgetting the name. I think it starts with C, but it's literally a town where they perform exorcisms.
Wow.
Oh, shit. And they went to this town. They went up to this like church, and they're performing all these exorcisms. And the guide that they were with was like, either of you want to be possessed by a low-level demon? Because
a low-level demon.
And they're both like, nah, I'm good. But nah. Like, because they're just exercising demons, there is this question of now what happens to the demon?
Where do we put them?
Right. Yeah. Because it's like a tapeworm, which is also an interesting
thing in the story. Oh, like, where
it needs, in order to survive, it needs a host. It
needs to feed off someone.
So where does Andres go?
I mean...
Part two.
Yeah,
we need a second book, ready?
We do.
I know. He said he doesn't do sequels. He's not a sequel guy. He said he loves sequels.
You never know.
But he doesn't. He said he doesn't do them.
But just don't call it a sequel.
Don't call it a comeback.
Yeah.
But the Southern Book Club's Guide to Slaying Vampires, another title by Grady Hendrix, takes place in the same neighborhood. But he said, this book is about the kids. That one's about the adults.
Well, and so I was asking Elena.
I did not realize that.
Yeah.
Oh.
I was asking because I wonder if the book club is the book club that Abby's mom, or sorry, Gretchen's mom was like getting drunk
at. So that is wild.
Right.
And it's a great title.
That's the next title I'm listening to.
It's,
you know what's interesting is I didn't realize that that took place in Charleston.
Yeah.
And I almost feel like the... town of Charleston plays such a large role in this title.
Definitely.
In
absolutely.
A way it didn't in that one because it was more about the like community and the book club.
Yeah.
Whereas this was, I think, like economics did play a lot more of a role in this title. So Hal Charleston, I love the way that that Grady describes like Charleston is all these like massive, beautiful homes that are on the outside.
And so old,
so maintained. But the second you go inside, they're like decrepit and people are losing so much money trying to keep them alive.
Yeah.
Which is like a metaphor for all these families.
Absolutely.
So true.
Yeah. It plays a huge role in
it.
And there's even like, they talk about a girl that there's like a rumor she got like
Molly.
Sacrificed by like Satanists.
Yes.
And in Molly, that shack, right?
Yeah. In that shack or near that shack, like in those woods, definitely. And her name is Molly Ravenel. And if you watch Southern Charm on Bravo.
So many Southern Charm shout-outs lately.
I was going to say, we're hitting Southern Charm all the time. And it's like the Ravenel Bridge and like the Ravenels are like a huge name in Charleston.
And in politics, it's, like for a minute.
They're like a political family there. Like there's a Ravenel Bridge in Charleston, like all that.
Can we talk about the body? The baby. But then also they were saying Molly's body was buried. Like,
yeah, that
they kind of plant it. But you never go into it where Gretchen's like, we need to dig her up.
And give her a Christian burial.
Yeah. Yeah. I am curious that if they actually went to that spot, would her body be there?
I know. Is it a rumor? Is it real?
And was that Gretchen saying that? Or was that
Andres
trying to get Abby to go somewhere where she shouldn't have been?
I think that was Gretchen still, because I think she was still in the throes of
coming out
not
in glimpses.
Allowing Andres to fully
take over.
Yeah.
But even when she's in that period, she does say things to Abby like, he tells me things about everyone else, even you.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So he could have told her
that. He could have told her that.
That's true, yeah.
And still be trying to lead her out there.
I feel like it was a way to lead her someplace she shouldn't have been, because he specifically really wanted to destroy Abby, because I think he saw her, obviously, and rightfully so, as the biggest threat.
As the threat.
Yeah, he knew that she could be the one to expel him.
No one loves
that
to
that baby in the bag is like...
Okay, wait, that can go back to one of the scariest
was
parts.
Dark as hell.
The first
so
of all.
Disturbing.
No, Max.
God. Oh, Max. God.
Max.
Does the
good
dog die.com?
Yes. Yeah, the dog Max is one of the most brutal things about this.
No one prepared me for that. No. I was not ready.
Even
I'll never
Gretchen
be ready.
Says, like, that's the one thing she can't get over.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But also, the one thing that's kept them friends for as long as they were able to be is that Abby is the only one who knows that wasn't Gretchen. Everyone else thinks she's just a vicious dog.
Good boy, Max. Good boy, Max.
Good boy, Max. And he was so dumb with the maxi pads all stuck
to
him. I loved that dog. It reminded me of Blanche.
I was just going to say, he had such Blanche vibes.
And
I was like, no.
And he's just like breaking into the neighbor's trap.
Yeah, he's just living. So sad. You know, he's just living his life. Oh, it broke so
poor
sad.
One out for him.
Yeah, truly.
Truly.
That was, I think that was like the biggest.
Yeah.
That destroyed me.
Yeah. Whose baby was it, though? Sorry, going back to that, because I feel like I cut myself off twice there. But
it was from that, when they go see that, like, body farm kind of place.
Lab.
Oh,
the
okay.
Remember
okay.
the bucket full of them?
So it was basically, like, a specimen. Like, a donated medical specimen that somebody stole from Gretchen.
Because there was a moment, I think because it was so shocking, that I was like,
whose baby is this? Yeah,
I was like, are we not going to talk about the fact that she killed a baby?
Like, what's going on? Yeah, it was at it must have been a donated specimen.
Yeah,
yeah. At the cadaver lab, and then they stole it. So that she was always going to be known as a baby stealer, a cadaver specimen.
Baby
stealer. And that was like another thing that kept them tethered. Gretchen was the only one who knew that she didn't really actually do that.
Yeah.
I did love during the exorcism. There's so many great moments during the exorcism. It's such a crescendo.
Yes.
For the whole thing.
Right.
When it says Andrus blew an exhausted raspberry.
I lost it.
I was like, Andrus, you're pretty funny. Like, I was like, that's truly pretty good.
That was another quote love.
He's just like,
off.
Right.
And then he said, and when she was like, when she's like, I know who you are, you're Andrus, you're like the purveyor of hell or whatever you are. And he says, so you've heard of me, so fucking what?
Yeah.
I was like, he's love like, Andrus.
Big deal.
Yeah.
I was like, shit, if you weren't like really mean, this
and a demon we can hang out. Possessing her best friend.
Yeah. If you weren't a demon possessing my best friend, we can hang out, Andrus.
Yeah. You got to pretty funny. Kid.
I would love to like sit down and interview a demon.
Yeah, that would be
really cool.
I don't think that's possible, but
no.
A girl can dream.
Yeah. Someday.
We'll do it. We'll get there.
We'll get there. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
Where there's a will, there's a way.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Did you guys know that this has also been made into a movie?
Yes.
We should do like a movie night.
Oh my God, we should. I just picked it for my Scream pick.
So we should watch
it. So now we have to watch it.
Yeah, we have.
100%. We must. We do it for our spooky Halloween night.
I love it.
Okay,
yes!
Perfect.
Okay,
boom. Perfect. I'll host it if you guys want me to.
Boom. Okay.
But if it wasn't a movie, I have cast the entire thing, and so has Elena.
Yes.
The entire thing meaning the four main girls.
Yes.
Yeah.
The entire thing.
That's it. Literally the whole plot.
Yeah.
So for Abby, I did Mae Whitman.
Okay.
That's great.
That is a great one.
I feel like I just like pretty much pictured like somebody like Mae the whole way through.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like you were saying, I don't picture like famous people as the characters, but when you go back, you're like, yeah, she
would fit.
Yeah,
I could see that.
Yeah.
For Gretchen, I did Anya Taylor-Joy.
Love her.
Because I feel like
she is
like so unique looking that specifically possessed, she would scare the shit out of you.
Yeah. Horrifying.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Margaret, I did Kiernan Shipka, who plays Sabrina.
I love that one.
Because I just feel like Margaret, like, definitely had like pretty girl privilege.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like Kiernan is so pretty.
Right.
That, you know,
you could see that.
You could see that.
I could see that.
And then for Glee, I don't know about you guys. I had a hard time picturing Glee throughout.
I think that the name was hard for me.
Yeah.
Like I kept picturing the show every time.
Me too.
I was like, wait, who's Glee? And then we had to get back.
Yeah. So I had a hard time, but every time she was brought up, I did picture somebody with like brown hair and like a, I don't know. I just pictured like a Lily Collins, I think.
Hmm. Okay.
A very pretty Glee.
Yeah, pretty Glee.
Yeah.
So that's my cast. I feel like they're all like pretty girls, you know?
Yeah. Just a group of pretty gals.
Yeah.
Pretty Southern Carolina girls.
Yes.
See, mine, I thought of Abby, I thought Maya Hawke.
I did see that. Maya Hawke does have that vibe.
Yeah, like that.
Especially her character in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
I could see.
That's exactly who I was thinking of.
Yeah.
And Gretchen, I thought, I couldn't decide. And Mikey gave me one of these. And I was like, I can't decide between this now.
Okay.
Because I was thinking Zendaya.
Grady Hendrix
and
say?
Grady Hendrix actually said he would cast Zendaya as Gretchen.
Okay.
And then Mikey brought up Sadie Sink from Stranger Things, Max. Yeah. And I thought she would be great too.
I could see either of those.
I could also see Sadie Sink as Glee.
Yeah. Actually, that's a decent one, too.
Maybe that's how it works out.
Maybe that is how it works. So we still get her in the movie.
Yeah.
Because then I had to go back. Because for Margaret and Glee, I was struggling.
Yeah.
It was tough.
And for Margaret, I was like, let me go back in time. And I'm going to say Thora Birch from like Now and Then days.
Yes.
Right. Okay. You know? I mean, this is your dream cast.
I can go back in time.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it'll all work.
A time machine exists in this scenario.
Exactly. Because then Glee, Christina Ricci.
Oh.
I think would be pretty good.
Because couldn't you picture her like jumping off the bell tower? Like,
I could picture
such a dramatic actress.
Oh, very.
You know?
Very much so.
Yeah. I think you did a really good job.
Thank you. I think you did a really good job.
Thank you.
I think you both did a really good job.
Thank you.
Yeah. Especially because I didn't do it. So you both did perfect.
We'll just smash them together.
I do feel like a Wallace would be one of the like rat boys that are like in right now, you know?
Oh, my God. Who would he be? He would be fucking, what's his name? I'll choke you, but I ain't no killer, baby.
Oh, that guy.
Jack.
Harlow.
Jack Harlow. Would be Wallace.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like the whole Euphoria cast could be like cast in this.
I feel like Angus would make a great Wallace, even though he's so beautiful. Actually, Wallace was too.
I was gonna say, I think he's like
a Riley.
He's too kind. He's not.
Okay, who's Brother Lemon?
Okay.
Oh, we got to think of a meathead, like a lovable meathead.
Lemon, a lovable meathead.
Oh, like a Zac Efron. Especially like him from
Zac Efron
Iron
now,
Claw.
I think would be definitely be a Brother Lemon. I could see that.
Yeah,
I think he would. Yeah. Actually, I think Zac Efron might be the.
Yeah,
that might
it's Zac
like,
Efron.
It's Zac Efron.
You're good at this. You did it.
He did it, to be honest.
He did it. He did exactly.
He did the work for me.
All right, so to end, let's answer the questions from the quiz.
Yeah,
because there's like the quizzes that appear throughout the title.
They have the quizzes. From like the, you know, the teen magazine that they're reading.
Do you remember doing these?
Of course. My whole life was doing these.
Yep. Yes. Okay. Should I read the first one?
Yes.
Are you driving away your best friend? You both swore to study for the big English test together. Suddenly, she cancels. Do you A, assume she got a better offer and spend the afternoon feeling rejected? B, blow it off. Sometimes these things happen. C, call her and demand she tell you the real reason why? Or D, give her the silent treatment. If she won't study with you, you won't talk to her.
Honestly, probably a mixture of the first and the last one. I would feel like super rejected. And then
give the
silent treatment.
I would call and demand to know the real reason.
I knew that you were going to say that.
I would blow it off sometimes these things happen.
All right, so we all are covered there.
I do think like answering them now is one thing, but like sometimes... Like, I'll answer the next one, putting myself in, like, my high school.
My teenage self.
Yeah. I think my answer would still ring true for my teenage self, even for that first one.
Mm. I think my teenage self would be, like, so heartbroken.
Yeah.
Like, feel rejected.
Yeah.
That would have been my teenage self, too.
Yeah.
All right, so let's answer them as our teenage selves from this point forward.
We should answer them as both.
Yeah.
Oh, there you go. Okay. All right, second question. Your best friend says she's stressed out and needs a break, so she's canceling your plans to double date this Friday. A, what a relief, you didn't want to go either. B, this friendship is over. C, cancel your date and go to her house instead. She must need to talk. D, your poor date. Now what else are you going to talk about on Friday night?
I think high school, C. I'd be like, oh my God, what's going on? She needs to talk to me. And now A, because I never want to go anywhere.
Same.
Same. That's A would be me now, because I'd be like, sweet.
Also, as you're wearing a homebody sweatshirt.
As I'm wearing a homebody sweatshirt. And I was going to say between C and D for teenage me.
Yeah.
Because I was likely a lot more selfish then. So I probably would have been like, oh,
that's fair.
Because I'm going out. See ya.
Going solo.
Bye.
I feel like A and C would ring true for me like back then and now.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree. Me too.
Yeah. I probably was usually the one canceling because I was always grounded for like a month for nothing. Okay. Your bestie shows up at school on Monday sporting a brand new do that she didn't tell you about. It's radical, it's expensive, and makes her look like a poodle. You, A, tell her it looks great. That's what friends are for. B, pretend nothing's happened. After all, if you can't say something nice, dot, dot, dot. C, burst out laughing. At least it's not you. Or D, be brutally honest. Someone's got to say it.
I think probably I'd have less control in high school and burst out laughing. So C... And then now I would do A and just feel like if I don't have anything nice to say, I don't say anything.
I do think it depends also on their reaction. Like if she thinks it looks great, then I would be like, yeah, it does. Or, well, actually, even if she said it looks horrible, I'd be like, it doesn't look that bad.
You look great.
It will grow out.
So you just reassure her.
Yeah.
I tend to be brutally honest.
Correct.
But I don't ever want to hurt someone's feelings ever. And I don't like yucking someone's yum.
I don't think you're brutally honest. I think you're tactfully honest.
Thank you. I hope so. Because I don't like yucking someone's yum.
And everyone needs a friend like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'll tell you for real if you need the real shit.
Yeah.
Like, I will happily do that.
And you've always
been
that way.
But I don't like to, like, bum someone out.
Right. Yeah. If I don't want an answer about something, I won't ask Alina. Yeah. But if I need, like, a honest, like, true answer, I'm like...
You'll tell me.
Sometimes you won't ask it because you know the answer you're going to get.
Exactly.
And
you
don't want to.
And I'm like, don't tell me that. I know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Okay, last one. Your best friend doesn't have time for you anymore. Do you A, keep calling until she tells you why you deserve an explanation? B, respect her wishes. You don't want to be needy. C, tell everyone you rejected her first. Who does she think she is? D, refuse to accept it. This friendship is over when you say it's over.
All right, so high school C. I'd be like, I didn't want to be her friend. And then now.
That's like your mom answering the AIM.
Right. It rang true. And then now, I feel like B, respect her wishes now, but not because I wouldn't want to be needy, just because I'd be like, all right, if you don't want to be my friend, then I don't want to be your friend.
Right.
You know?
Elena? I would probably. I'm like a, I would probably be A.
You need an answer.
I need an answer too.
Like, give me, tell me, like, be, grow up, tell me what's going on.
Yep.
So that we can snip if we need to snip.
That's me now.
And that's me now.
Especially if I did something wrong. Like,
yeah,
I deserve to know.
Yeah.
Because, like, as a human being, I want to grow. Like, if I did something to hurt you, like, please tell me.
Yeah.
And then, but in high school/middle school, I was such a pushover and, like, emotional that I always felt like I would have respected her wishes and not wanted to be needy and then just cry in the bathroom or something.
I hate that. See? Gross.
Yeah, look at all of us. Check that out. Okay, this was so much fun.
This was awesome.
I love
Thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming on.
Anytime.
That was amazing. Thank you to you.
Yeah, seriously.
And thank you to Audible for sponsoring this show. Don't forget that you can go over to audible.com/weirdos for your free trial. And if I were you, I would use that free trial to purchase this title and devour it all in one sitting. Sabrina, tell them where they can find you.
You want my address?
Blake Lively?
You can find me. You can find Two Girls, One Ghost wherever you listen to podcasts. And on YouTube, we are starting to speak to the spirits. So if we do get possessed, I will be calling you too.
Boom.
Heck yeah.
We'll be there. We will absolutely be there.
For the exorcism?
Yeah. Yeah, we'll exorcise you.
Great, thank you.
I'll bring Brother Lemon.
Oh my God.
Let's go.
Well, with that being said, guys, we hope you keep listening. We hope you enjoyed this, and we hope you keep
it weird.
But not so weird that your best friend gets possessed, and not so weird that if she does get possessed, you can't save her. Bye.
Bye.